No Strings with Mike Damon.
Hello and welcome again to No Strings Podcast, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. And as usual, I am Mike Damon, your weekly host. On this week's episode, we're going to have a wonderful conversation with a Nigerian transgender man who is going to be taking us all the way through his life living as a transgender person. You know, we've been hearing a whole lot of things about transgender people, some of them true, some of them of course are baseless and all lies. But here at No Strings, we deal with the fact and talk about it just the way it is. And to help us clear things up, we're going to, of course, do this with not just a transgender person, but with someone who is very knowledgeable on the issue, as he'll be helping us learn so much. To continue with this conversation, we'll have to take some time out and now to listen to some messages. I'll be back, so stay on. No Strings will definitely continue.
At a time like this, when Nigeria faces an unnecessary fear, fear from the minority, fear from LGBTs. We need a voice. We need it heard. And we need to tell our stories. And yes, we need to tell it with no strings attached. Join Mike Damon every week.
No Strings is proudly supported by
KSA Radio, South Africa's premier LGBT radio station.
Join us on there every Wednesday from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Visit ksaradio.co.za.
You're listening to No Strings.
And finally, welcome back to No Strings Podcast. For this week, we're going to have a conversation with Reezy Timin. Reezy is a Nigerian transgender man now residing in the United States of America. Timin is a trans counselor, writer, and a musician, and he's going to be taking us through his life and will be revealing to us what it truly means to be a transgender person. Okay, so now let's meet with Reezy Timin. So Reezy, please, can you briefly tell us about yourself and about life for you growing up as a child?
My name is Reezy Timin, and I am presently a transgender life coach as well as a transgender psychotherapist, or counselor, as is often used back home. I work with the community in helping people who are LGBT come out to themselves, to their families, at their jobs, and as specifically for transgender people, I help them, you know, navigate the changes, including if to have surgery, when to have surgery, and all such things. I've been in the United States now in Los Angeles for almost 16 years. I am now a naturalized citizen. I live with my wife and our three pet babies, as we call them. And I also sing and do a lot of speaking engagements. I'm also an author and an actor. Talking about my life growing up as a child back home in Nigeria, I would describe it as a very normal childhood in that there was nothing out of the ordinary. I was raised by two very hardworking parents. I went to primary school. I played with the children in the neighborhood. I was very hardworking in school, and everything in that regard was very normal, so to speak. However, I was a very conflicted child because I never felt like a girl. I always felt like I was meant to have been born as a boy.
Interesting. So at what age did you come to learn that you're not the gender that you were assigned at birth? And how did you feel about, you know, it upon your discovery? And is your family currently now aware of your current status as a man?
It was at the age of 8 that it all came to a peak. I had been having these feelings of not being in the right body since I was probably around 6 years old. But by 8 years old is when it really came to a peak. I realized then in my mind that I was meant to have been a boy. And I remember walking into my dad's bedroom one day and telling him with much confidence, "Daddy, I'm a boy. you know, and I said that with the innocence of an 8-year-old, thinking that I had figured out why I was having so many issues, not wanting to wear dresses, always wanting to, you know, climb the trees and play with the boys. But beyond just being a tomboy, because that doesn't really define your gender, besides being a tomboy, it was more than that. It was like a depression that I would have as I developed into a female body. And so it was around 8 that I thought to myself, I figured out that I'm a boy and that that was what was going on with me. And I told my dad, and he said he thought I was just going through a phase that kids go through and that I would outgrow it. It obviously turned out to not have been a phase. And, you know, many years later, this led to, you know, a dispute between my parents, because they kept hoping that this would be a phase. This very manly, you know, way that I carried myself, very manly way that I dressed. I shaved my head all the time. I wore, you know, very tight bras, sport bras to compress my chest as it grew. I also was attracted to girls, so I was dating girls, which, you know, was not acceptable to them either. In their desperation to make me normal, you know, so to speak, in inverted commas, normal, they started to have, you know, prayer meetings and invite pastors to the house to do exorcisms, because they felt that this was demonic possession, and they wanted to save me from, you know, a life of sin and going to hell and, you know, having gender issues and all these things. So all this started, you know, between the age of 12 to probably 15, 16, where all these prayers to save me, save my soul and deliver me from gender nonconformity and all these things that they perceived were wrong with me. And it was during this time that we had one major fallout. You know, my parents had decided that I needed to conform to possibly, you know, get married and do what normal African girls do. And that really threatened me. I was afraid that I was going to be forced to be somebody that I wasn't. And that was how I ended up moving to Los Angeles. And once I moved there, I never actually returned to live in Nigeria, although I have visited many times. As of right now, my parents are fully aware of my status as a man. It was not easy for them. You know, we had fallen out and had a lot of fighting and bickering over me identifying as a lesbian for many years. But through it all, I have been lucky to have very loving parents. We didn't get along, but we knew we loved each other, and we continued to try to be a family in spite of our differences.
Okay, so what are your challenges, you know, as a transgender person?
There have been many challenges as a transgender person. The main one is coming out to family and friends, you know, being able to explain how you feel and knowing you will lose some people. You know, there are family members and friends that will walk away, people who don't understand. So that's one of the challenges, is just coming out and realizing you could lose friends and family who will walk away from you. But I say anyone who's going to walk away should walk away. Those who love you will accept you regardless of how your gender is expressed. Because again, they know that it's your heart and your spirit and your soul that ultimately matter. The other big issue, of course, of being transgender is the surgeries. If you choose to take the hormones and have the surgeries, you know, surgery is not an easy thing. And that's why I always say to people who say, you know, these transgender people are crazy, or they're just doing it for attention, or, you know, they're just choosing to do this. Nobody's going to choose to endanger their lives going under general anesthesia, having so many surgeries that could have so many complications. You know, you only have surgery when you have a health a crisis, a health situation that you want to have fixed. And that's why we undergo all of these surgeries. That's why we risk our lives to become the gender, you know, that we believe we were supposed to be born to make the outsides and the insides match so that we're physically and psychologically at peace and living our authentic lives. The third challenge, of course, for transgender people is dating. When you're transgender, you know, you have all these questions. Do you tell that you were born, in my case, female, but you're a man now? Do you not tell? What happens when you've had some surgery, but not all? You know, and how do you present that? Luckily for me, the person that I was dating when we were in a same-sex lesbian relationship is the person that I'm still with, is who I'm married with, married to right now. We've done, we've been together over 9 years. We've been married since the end of 2012. And we're heading to, you know, 10 years together. And she has always been very accepting. Her sexuality is bisexual, so she didn't care if I was male or female. And she has always loved me. And so that has been very lucky for me that I'm here. I'm a married man in a very committed monogamous relationship. And all now my family and friends are accepting and I have been partnered. But if you are a single trans person, dating is certainly a challenge and something that I'm constantly, as a life coach and as a therapist, working with other transgender men and women to help them through.
Okay, also, there are these long-standing issues with transgender and bathrooms. Some people are taking steps to implement gender-neutral bathrooms, while others seem to think that this is discriminatory in itself. What do you have to say about this, and what is your preferred solution to the fear that people have about transgender and the use of bathrooms?
The issues with transgender and the bathrooms, you know, have been ongoing, and I can attest that when I was transitioning, when I started hormones, it was difficult. It was very difficult to not fit in. If I went to the women's restroom, the women would freak out and, you know, call security and say there's a guy in there. But meanwhile, I had not yet even, you know, transitioned to a guy. I was always a very masculine woman, even before I started taking hormones or anything. As I said, I used to shave my head and all this. So I was always confused for being a man, even before I started transition. And so when I did start initially, it got even worse. And then, you know, once you've had some of the surgeries, like removing the breasts, so now your chest is flat, taking the hormones, so now you're growing some facial hair, but you've not yet done the bottom surgery, what restroom do you go to? So, you know, it gets very difficult. And what about, you know, men who were born into the male body but transition into female? What restrooms do they use? You know, it's a very difficult thing. And I can tell you, it was hard. It was hard to be in a place where there were no restrooms that, you know, I felt that I could safely go into. It's very common for transgender people, myself included at the time, to hold, you know, hold their, you know, urine needs for hours and even get bladder infections from holding their urine for so long in public spaces where they didn't feel safe to use the restroom. What I would say is it's just a restroom. You know, in truth and honesty, transgender men and women have been using, you know, the restrooms of the gender that they feel they should have been born with for many years. People just haven't known that the person beside you was transgender. And now that the issue has become more public, they're getting like freaked out and saying, why should men be in the women's? Why should women be in the men's? And all this confusion. It's just a restroom. People go in there. There's usually a stall. You go in the stall, you close the door, you pee or do whatever you need to do. You come out, wash your hands and leave. I don't see any danger. I don't see any harm in people using the restroom. And as I even have been hearing and taking offense with, you know, people saying men going into the restroom will molest little girls. You know, it's so offensive to call transgender people pedophiles. Pedophiles are pedophiles, and you know, they molest children wherever they are. I've studied this extensively. As a victim of pedophilia myself, when I was young, I was sexually molested by a person in my home who used to cook in the kitchen for many years. And he wasn't transgender. He was a heterosexual married man. If you look in the papers, you will see that there's been many of them, dentists, doctors, lawyers, you know, sports coaches. Remember the case of Penn University? There's been so many of them. And, you know, pedophiles are pedophiles. And it's just wrong. It's like when they used to say all gay men are pedophiles. You know, gay men are attracted to adults. Pedophiles are attracted to children. Transgender women are just people stuck in the wrong body. And they shouldn't be called pedophiles when they're just trying to use a restroom. So I say yes to gender-neutral restrooms. You know, I say yes to that. I say yes to putting more single stalls, you know, the ones where it's just one person at a time, you go in and close it. I say yes to putting gender-neutral ones where, you know, if you're comfortable going in, you just go in, you know, to make mixed restrooms and just use the restroom. It's really not a big deal. And I'm happy to see that many states in the United, at least in the U.S., are doing that now and implementing those restrooms. You know, using the bathroom is a right. It shouldn't have to be such a big deal. And there's no harm so far that has been documented because a transgender person used a restroom, you know, that they felt comfortable in.
Okay, I understand that you wrote a memo about yourself titled Unspoken Compromise, which at a certain time became Amazon's best-selling memo. And also, you're currently a singer and songwriter. Please, can you tell us about your music and your book?
I have written a memoir called An Unspoken Compromise, which sold really well on Amazon. It did become a bestseller on the lesbian gay field, you know, the lesbian gay category. It was number one for a while, and I'm very happy and proud of it. You know, not just because it did that, but because it was my opportunity to share my story, you know, of growing up in Africa, being transgender, of reconciliation between my family and I. That was really the main point of this book. At the end of it, is to say to other people all over the world, Nigeria included, that whether you're lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, whether you grew up in a fundamentalist religious home, in a culture like ours in Africa, there is a way to find the strength to be who you are. You have to be true to yourself. You have to pursue your own happiness. And, you know, along the way, people may fall off, but most of them will come around. My parents have come around. They've found out, you know, that we can have a relationship in spite of our initial differences. And as I said, we're even closer now. So that really was my story, just sharing how I came out, everything I went through. There's a whole section in there for LGBT people who are also, you know, Christians, who are also spiritual. And I use Christian loosely. I wouldn't even call myself a Christian. I would say I'm spiritual, but not religious. And I believe in the teachings of Jesus from the Bible, as opposed to tying myself down to, you know, outdated Jewish laws that, you know, are not to be observed in this day and age, such as the book of Leviticus and not wearing mixed fabric and not eating shrimps and lobster, you know, because those are called abomination in the Bible. So I try to just, you know, focus on the teachings of Jesus, which is loving your neighbor as yourself, being good to others, and, you know, just, you know, kindness and having love for all humanity and even respecting those that you have differences with. So there's a whole chapter about that in the book as well. But it was really nice to share that story. Many people have told me how it has helped them, and I hope it continues to help people. I also am a singer-songwriter. I've been singing for many years, and my music, I would say, is inspirational music in the sense that, you know, the genres are pop, R&B, hip-hop. You know, I've had elements of gospel in my music as well because of my background growing up, you know, in a spiritual home. But overall, the music is geared to the LGBT community, just saying to live your authentic life, be true to who you are, love yourself, know that there's nothing wrong with you, and embrace who you are in every way, shape, and form. My latest single is called Feels Good to Be Free. I just released it this year, and I was lucky and fortunate to have the beautiful Miss Candace Cane in the music video. And we are promoting that video and this EP to use some of the proceeds from the sales to actually pay for a transgender person who cannot afford to have surgery to have surgery. In the past 2 years, I have also paid for one person per year, transgender, to have surgery, using sales from the best-selling novel, using sales from my other music. So I always implore people to buy that music, to buy the singles, you know, and know that in doing so, they are supporting LGBT rights and advocating for each other.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rizzi Timin, for everything that you're doing for the community. Okay, so finally, what do you have to say to listeners out there, especially to transgender Nigerians living in Nigeria?
My words of encouragement to you is just be true to yourself. Be safe, be wise, be watchful, and have hope. There is always hope. Change is coming. The world is changing. People are getting more enlightened and educated. Even the Pope, Pope Francis, has made strides in LGBT rights. He has called for the Church and the Vatican to be, you know, more open, more supportive, and non-judgmental of us. And I think the whole world is moving in the direction of equal rights for all people. It may seem dark and many years away, but, you know, I believe that we will see the day where LGBT people can roam free in Nigeria, just, you know, as it is in other parts of the Western world.
Okay, nice there. Thank you, Timin, for doing this with us. I'm sure many must have had a lot to learn about the trans life. Okay, and that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget to join us again next week for something even more interesting. To get updates from No Strings, please follow us on Facebook using facebook.com/NoStringsNG and on Twitter using twitter.com/NoStringsNG. Also, there is a new 24-hour hotline now for LGBT persons in Nigeria. If you're in trouble, depressed, or maybe you have some health-related concerns or just want to ask us a question here at No Strings, please call 813-242-0473. Oh yes, I will leave you now with a beautiful song from Rizzi Timin titled Beautiful. To buy this song and many others, please visit Timin's website at www.rizzitimin.com. Remember that proceeds from the purchase of Rizzi's songs and books will be used to support members of the transgender community. To buy Rizzi's books and songs, please follow the links under this episode. Until next week, I say bye-bye now. Timin, Beautiful, coming right up. Enjoy.
Don't care what you say, I am beautiful. So what, I'm different, I'm still beautiful. You can't bring me down, I am beautiful. Got to be myself, and I'm beautiful. Don't care what you say, I am beautiful. So what, I'm different, I'm still beautiful. You can't bring me down, I am beautiful. Got to be myself, and I'm beautiful.
Beautiful, I'm beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful.
make me cry.
I am beautiful.
Go ahead and stare.
I'm still beautiful.
You can't make me doubt
that I'm beautiful.
Got to be myself.
And I'm beautiful.
You can't make me cry.
I am beautiful.
Go ahead and stare.
I'm still beautiful.
You can't make me doubt
that I'm beautiful.
Got to be myself.
And I'm beautiful.